Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Just every indication I've gotten is the people in that building love Justin Fields. Coaches, players, there are a lot of folks in that facility that do not want Mike Tomlin to go away from Justin Fields right now.
Second and 10, gets bring four, looks an end zone shot, Pickens! Got it! Touchdown, Pittsburgh!
This is already a run game that's been very up and down this year. We've talked about it. Switching to Russell Wilson hurts your run game in a way.
Because I think it hurts your offensive line as well.
Because of what Justin Fields brings to the table as a runner, the way that defenses, linebackers have to respect him as a threat, that helps the run.
Some of these offensive linemen here, Dan Moore and Isaac Seumalo, who's out the first four games. Ryan McCollum, the fourth center, had to come in and play. Mason McCormick, a fourth-round draft pick, wasn't starting at the beginning of the year. Broderick Jones probably wouldn't be starting but for the injury to Troy Fuutano. And here they are, and they are going through a Jets defense who, yes, hurting on the back end, but the front end of the New York Jets defense is having a problem stopping the run.
Do you think Justin Fields should be the starter for the Steelers?
Yes, absolutely.
So he's the right person?
Yes, absolutely. He's played well enough to keep the job.
Wilson fires end zone, touchdown, Van Jefferson!
I thought Justin actually played a good game. He went on some spurts there. We had a couple bad throws in a row. But all in all, I would absolutely not even think about taking him out of the game right now.
It's first and goal. Wilson is keeping and sneaking, getting pushed to the goal line. And he is short for the moment. Let's see. Down judge and line judge in there. No signal, a lot of conversation. Touchdown!
How about our friend City Limits? He just played better than Wilson, Bob.
That's what you call
what an opening that was.
A little mashup.
You like that one,
mashup.
Joe?
That was a mashup, my friend. Wow. Bob Pompiani, Austin City Limits, Bechtold. That was a fun game to watch. The fun feels like it's back. Bob, I'm going to open with something. I'm going to throw the mic to you, and then off we go. On the Steelers. Are you prepared for that? And are you okay?
I'm ready to go.
You look fantastic. You have an Oakmont pullover on and a Srixon golf hat. You're as handsome as ever. It's unbelievable, Bob. Do you agree,
it's
Limits?
It's unbelievable what wins will do. It brings up everyone's
Everyone looks better.
Yeah, ready. It's a beautiful day.
Very handsome and well-rested.
I love your hair, Austin. It's beautiful.
Your food tastes better. Everything.
Joe, your skin looks so smooth.
Thank you.
Joe, you look great. You look 10 years younger today.
Thank you. It's winning. We talked about that last week.
It cures everything.
It changes everything. You just feel better from peewees up to the pros, Bob. Winning changes everything. All those little small problems, they disappear into the ether. Why? Because we're winning. But here's the story to me. Here's the story. And you just heard it, really. Jay Glazer called Mike Tomlin the Lone Ranger on this Russell Wilson decision. Mm-hmm. Even in the building, people were very divided on this. In this town, by any measurement, people wanted Justin Fields to stay in, the majority. And nationally, certainly they did. And Mike Tomlin was right. But here's the story to me. It was just 2 weeks ago, Bob, on a Sunday night game. During that game, Mike Tirico and Chris Collinsworth. It was the fourth quarter. It was an ugly mud fest, the kind everybody thinks the Steelers want to play and love to play. Justin Fields was taking them down for maybe they were going to go ahead touchdown. Maybe they were going to lose by 3 points. The score was like, 11-4, whatever the hell the score was. And they couldn't praise Tomlin and the Steelers enough. Tirico and Collinsworth at that moment in that game, actually praising them for lowering themselves into a mud fest with an inferior team and desperately trying to win at the end as if that's the plan. And maybe it has been in recent years, but even Mike Tomlin's sick of watching it. Tirico and Collinsworth, you remember in that game 2 weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
Toward the end, this is what the Steelers love. Collinsworth said, this is what they practice for. They've missed the story. A lot of people have missed the story. I'm gonna keep banging this drum, and I've said this quote a million times. When they fired Matt Canada last year, Mike Tomlin, for the first time in 17 years as Steelers coach, admitted to the world that winning was not enough. The Steelers were 6-4. They were two games over 500. They were winning. Tomlin said, we need to engineer victory more fluidly, and the way to do that is points. So we get to these last two games. We get to last night. That's the way it looks when you're a contender. That's the way it looks when people can project ahead to January and say, oh, this team could actually make a run, win a playoff game. You can't survive winning 19-18 slugfests all the time. And even if it gets you to the playoffs, it doesn't matter because it'll never translate. And Mike Tomlin knows that. Even he's sick of watching that crap. He knows you got to engineer victory more fluidly. And Bob, the insertion of Russell Wilson into the lineup and just the way this team looks overall makes that possible. And last night, you heard Tirico and Collinsworth saying at the end, this is a dangerous team. I think that's what Tirico said. He's right. You know why they're dangerous? Because they're winning by more points, because they can suddenly score. And I don't care if it was two bad teams. They played a lot of bad teams in the last 5 years, 4 years, whatever. They don't score enough. They're about to go into next week's game with a chance to score 30 three consecutive weeks for the first time since 2015. You don't win in the long term playing crappy mudfest 20-19 football. You got to be able to score. Bob?
And that they did. And it took a while, and some people were anxious at the beginning. But Mike Tomlin had a feel for this, and it goes to show you how difficult it is to find. And I'm not saying Justin Fields is not a legit quarterback. I still would love to see what he could do long term, because the development that he has over the first 6 weeks was significant based on where he was in Chicago. But I don't think people remember what it was like to have somebody who actually has the kind of resume that Russell Wilson has. Sure. He was discarded in Denver. But what Mike Tomlin was looking for was an unlock of the passing game. And that's exactly what he got last night. And he knew that this guy has a history of doing that stuff. When I look back at Denver, I still don't understand the motivation to get rid of him based on what he did last year. I keep talking about this red zone efficiency. He was the best in the NFL, even on that team, in scoring touchdowns in the red zone. And we saw that last night, what it meant. It meant that you don't have to just continue, as you say, use a quagmire approach to just moving forward slowly to get to the goal line. And maybe you're lucky if you get a broken play that scores a touchdown. There's a legit passing threat. And George Pickens was the beneficiary of it, I thought. Even though Justin Fields would look to him a lot, there were certain plays. And listen, the first one was a tremendous catch. The throw was behind him, short, whatever. But it took Russell Wilson a time to get. But as the game went on, you saw what he meant to this offense. So Mike Tomlin had it right. A lot of people did not agree with this. And now the question is it sustainable? Can they build off of it? And if so, how dangerous will they be? That's another thing that Collinsworth said last night. They are the best story in football right now. And I don't think you can argue with that, given the fact that they had to completely discard their three quarterbacks from last year, bring in three more in a revolving door mentality of quarterbacks. Most teams face this yearly. It was the first time the Steelers really had to face it since Ben Roethlisberger left. They changed everything, made a move for two guys who have helped them. Specifically now, we'll see what Wilson could do. But I like the fact that the passing game became unlocked. You saw Van Jefferson score in the red zone.
Who?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They had two of those scores last night. How about this, Joe? Last night they had five plays in excess of 30 yards. For the entire season, through six, they only had seven. So that tells you about the threat that could be down the field. And when that happens, the run game opens up. And I thought another key was this young offensive line, specifically McCollum and Mason McCormick were outstanding as the game went on. And I think the special teams can't. The best moment of the night to me was Danny Smith getting completely.
Oh, was that great?
Almost like they were ready to carry him off the field. That guy, if you know him, he's one of the nicest people around, and he knows what he's doing. And they put up some pretty good numbers when it comes to block kicks. So it was an entire effort, but I thought the momentum and the confidence started to – you saw it. It was palpable to see it, to feel it in that stadium last night. And now the question is, how long can that carry them as they enter a real tough part of their schedule after next week?
Yeah, I feel more hopeful about this team right now. I think this is the Steelers' best all-around team since before Bud Dupree got hurt in 2020 when they went into that weird – Wednesday game against the Ravens, whatever it was, at like 9-0 or 10-0 or something, and he gets hurt. They were good for a lot of that season, even though some of it was smoke and mirrors. They were good. This is their best team since at least then. And you know, Bob, there's nothing noble or advantageous about coming down to the level of a team like the Cowboys and slugging it out to the end. No, nobody wants TKOs, or they shouldn't want them. You want knockouts in the NFL. And even though I thought, and I was about 51% to 49%.
That's what you said last week, 51. It was a close call. I don't think if the decision had gone the other way, people would have understood it, given the fact that they were, quote, engineering wins, how they did it.
Yeah, for me, it was given the fact that they were really banged up on the offensive line and a fierce pass rush was coming into town.
Right.
I thought Fields' feet would be advantageous for at least one more start. But Mike Tomlin, again, he was right. He was right. And I could certainly, even at the 51 to 49% thing.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
See his justification here, and it's really simple. It's really simple. Russell Wilson is a better passer, but there's more than that. He's a better field general. George Pickens talked about that after the game, some of the subtleties with Russell Wilson. His ability to use cadence to his advantage, recognition of blitzes. A lot of these games are won in those precious seconds right before the ball is snapped. Your ability to identify, to read a defense. He's a master of the play action. But mostly, he's a better passer than Justin Fields. Period. End of story. And you're going to need that if you want to win the bigger games. It's very simple, right, Bob?
There's no question about it. And again, if you're looking for the reason, more than any other reason, is the numbers. The numbers tell the story. It's that coming into this game yesterday, the Steelers, despite 4 wins and 2 losses, had the 28th ranked passing offense. And we all saw that. We knew that. We knew they were getting no production, and there were missed receivers at times. And again, Justin Fields has his way of playing. I think I like where he's headed. I do. I think he has a future here. Again, Russell Wilson's a little older, but they may decide that they're going to keep him around longer, and that brings money into play. But unlock the passing game. When you have a quarterback who can look over the field, again, he needs time. He can move. He's not going to run, but he can move to keep plays alive and keep his eyes downfield. I think that's the biggest advantage that he brings, and he has a whole resume worth of success to prove that, not the least of which is he is really good with the football. If you look at the numbers, I think 1/12 overall in terms of interceptions. He doesn't throw a lot of interceptions. Last year, 26 TDs, 8 interceptions only. I mean, he's pretty good at that despite his age and despite the fact that Denver discarded him as quickly as they did. So they saw something in him. Mike Tomlin knew that when he was healthy, he wanted to give him a shot, and now that's the shot. And maybe, Joe, it was that he looked at it from this point of view. They were 4-2, yes, but they do well on prime time. History says that. That crowd brings it alive. They had back-to-back games against two New York teams that they knew they thought they were better than, and so they wanted to give him a chance going into the break. If that two games showed that Russell Wilson was not what maybe they thought he would, they could have made adjustments. They wanted to see. Now you have momentum a little bit. If he has a good game on Monday night and they carry that through, very dangerous team in the second half of the season.
And it was mighty ugly at first. I don't know if they were booing the offense or Russell Wilson or anything else. There was a brief "We want Justin" chant, I'm told, Bob. I was watching the game on television. I'm told that that happened. And it's also, I think, fair and wise to be measured here. Like, am I totally convinced that Russell Wilson is the Russell Wilson he was in his prime in Seattle and that he's going to take the Steelers to the promised land? No. I mean, of course not. It's one game. Some of those passes were more about Pickens than they were about Russ. The back end of the Jets defense was ruined. They went into the game without a safety, their best safety, and that's problematic in the NFL. But what you could see is that Russell gives the Steelers their best chance. That's what I could see. No idea where this goes. Nobody could possibly have one. We'll see how it plays when he goes against, you know, great defenses and really good secondaries and things like that. But I'm convinced, you know, based on what I saw, that he gives them their best chance.
A couple of other observations in this game. The biggest player of the game was Beanie Bishop. I don't think there's any question because the Jets were on the move. They were up 15-6. If they convert at least a field goal on that drive before halftime, not only are they up 18-6 minimal, maybe 21, they get the ball to start the second half. There's no momentum.
What a great play.
And listen, I saw Trey Wingo, a guy I respect, who was calling for a quarterback switch at halftime.
Ryan Clark was saying, how long can you stay with Russell Wilson?
All these guys. I mean,
in the game.
Sometimes you just got to be patient.
And I didn't blame them, Bob. It looked real ugly.
But how much time were you going to give him?
I agree. You had to.
If he made that decision, he wasn't going to yank him on the first bad play. He knew that he had to give him time, and he hadn't played since Christmas.
He hadn't played in a year, almost.
Right. So therefore, it took some time. And that play by Beanie Bishop changed everything.
It did.
And it made me wonder also, you know, Aaron Rodgers is going to be 41 pretty soon. He doesn't look anywhere near what I thought was they were going to have. Davante Adams would have a bigger role and would spring open guys like Garrett Wilson, who made a terrible play on that second interception. He had it right there for him and hit off his face mask or whatever it hit off of. That play set the stage for the second half, which was a 24-0 whitewash.
I didn't think it was a terrible throw.
No, that was
I
a
thought
good,
it was just a great
no,
play.
No, I'm talking about the second one.
Oh, I know.
But the first one was the guy was there. Beanie Bishop made a tremendous read on it, and he was outstanding all night. He had a tackle for loss. He was all over the place. So that's another big part of what happened last night.
Yeah, I didn't think that that Rodgers looked bad passing the ball at all, really. He looked dangerous, but what he can't do is a huge part of his game was running away from people behind the line of scrimmage and keeping plays alive. Mm-hmm. He looks understandably way slower than he used to. And, you know, the Jets is the Jets, as they say, Bob. The biggest reason I picked the Steelers in this game, as Limits could attest to from Friday, is because I don't trust the Jets. We had Nick Kostos on telling us, well, they're just a better team. Are they? And even if they have a ton of talent, I think they have more first rounders than any team in the NFL. Some of it is old. Some of it didn't feel integrated into the team yet. They just don't. They have no cohesiveness about them. Their coach sort of comes off like a guy they pulled off the street, Bob, to coach their team. You know,
yeah,
he was walking by the stadium.
Problems.
Hey, you want to coach?
Yeah.
Come on in. He doesn't carry. He just doesn't have the look of like an NFL CEO on the sidelines.
He couldn't throw the challenge flag correctly.
Yeah, even that was incomplete.
Well, that was an interesting turn of events, wasn't it?
That was unbelievable. But this was fun. This was. I considered this to be like a celebration. The Najee thing, jumping into the crowd, was great.
Boy, was he good second week in a row talking about running hard. Yes. He always has run hard, but he's running and showing a little gas to the outside. We haven't really
seen
that.
That's the thing. I never bought the Najee is running harder this year. Najee has run like a maniac his whole career. He's running smarter.
And faster, it looks like.
Yeah.
Me. I mean.
Those two go hand in hand. He's making the right cuts. He's showing vision that he hasn't showed before, and he's breaking off long runs. Man, does he look great. Bob, can we get this thing to stick, jumping into the crowd? Who cares if they do it in Green Bay? The Steelers can be the AFC team that do it, that does it. You like that, Limits?
I would do the exact same thing. I mean, that looked pretty fun going into the club level there.
What should we call it if it's not the Lambeau Leap, the Acrisure?
Acrisure Ascent, the Acrisure.
Ooh, I like it,
give
Bob.
Me an eight. Well, that's too much for people to remember. It's got to be simple.
We'll think about that.
Okay.
Yeah, but I want to see it. I don't feel like they're copying. So what? It's fun.
Yeah.
We can do it too here in Pittsburgh, right?
Why not?
Why not?
I mean, he was so pumped up last night, Najee Harris. I like that part of him. And I also thought, by the way, a little tight. Jalen Warren's health makes a big difference to that.
He finally looked like himself.
He did. Yeah. And that gives him another dimension that they really need. It's almost like Breece Hall, who was, I thought, outstanding for them. And I was worried about him in that game because all the attention of the wide receivers. He's one of those guys who sneaks around and all of a sudden can turn a big play, and he did.
Off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. Got a lot happening today. Decisions, that's Bob's favorite topic. Maybe a little studs and duds, Bob. I know you always look forward to that. But mostly, you and us at 412-928-9370, 928-9370, and some credit for Mike Tomlin. If Mike Tomlin had screwed up the game, the lines would be lighting up like Malzi at a craft beer house, wouldn't they, Limits? Can you admit that Mike Tomlin was right? You know, he was right.
He was right.
Jay Glazer said the Lone Ranger on this decision. And a quarter into the game, I mean, it didn't look like Russell was rusty. It looked like he was Joe Namath on one knee with the Rams. It was horrifying. And I know some of the plays weren't his fault, but I began to think, oh, my God, this is Hines Ward in his last days when they had to run a little shovel pass to get him his 1,000th pass. What the hell is happening here? Bob, that was a disaster. And then suddenly it turned. And you're right. Beanie Bishop was the guy who turned it.
Yep. And the other thing was, in the first half, I believe they were 0 for 6 on third down. It goes to show you, when you make plays, second half, totally different story.
I mean, guarantee
they came alive
you,
and made big plays on third down, and that's how you keep drives alive, and that's your dagger in the opponent right there.
For sure. And so much of it, again, is identification. And you could, Collinsworth mentioned it, you could actually hear it at the line of scrimmage that this is a veteran winner who's in command of an offense. Did you hear the Coors Light call, Bob?
No.
Did you read about that? Limits, did you hear it? He's on the phone.
No, I was.
I heard it.
Yeah, it was right before the drop by Calvin Austin. So I think they went away from Coors Light. What could that mean?
I don't know. I didn't hear that because I was busy. I was still working last night. We had things to do.
Limits, what did you make of the Coors Light call? Did you like that?
I thought it was pretty funny. I didn't like that it ended up being like an incomplete pass. Was that the Calvin Austin drop play?
That was a drop, yeah. I remember the play, but I don't remember.
Did it make a catch attempt like you've been drinking? I don't know. It was right in his hands.
I think Calvin didn't want a light beer. He wanted to indulge in something else.
Free light. I don't know. I don't know what it was, but it was fun. The whole thing was fun, Bob. But. My point was that Russell Wilson has a certain gravitas. Do you like that word? That you earn by winning in the NFL. That what you saw last night, more so than the deliveries of the passes, was the kind of leader that guys like T.J. Watt and Cam Hayward were openly campaigning for when they went out to try to get Russell Wilson. That's what he brings, and everything else. Games are won before the ball is snapped. I'm not sure Justin Fields has that part of the game. Justin Fields, in many ways, to me, looked like an upgraded version of Pickett because he can run. Definitely an upgrade, but not the kind of guy who can pass you to wins. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And lead you in a way that Russell can.
But I'm not going to rule out that down the road he can't figure that out and become
better.
I don't know, Bob.
You're 4 years into your career. You've started about 50 games.
I've seen an improved. Well, I don't think there's any doubt he has the kind of arm that can pass.
Well, a lot of guys have the kind of arm. It's about all the things we're talking about.
But he's still 24, 25 years old. He has a long way to go. And I'm not going to rule that out because I see advancement in his game. The ball security part was much better. He was on pace
for 17 fumbles.
Okay, I'm talking about most of the interceptions. That's the number that stood out to me in Chicago. And there were some interception-worthy plays. I get all of that. I still saw progress in his game. So I'm not going to discount that moving forward. But at the end of this year, if Jay Glazer is, you know, reporting what Mike Tomlin told him, he wants to make a choice about the future, about winning championships. Well, if Russell Wilson is that guy, he is getting older also. And you have to wonder, because I've watched, you see a guy like Kirk Cousins, you see a guy like Aaron Rodgers, and you see how fast things can change. So we'll see about that. But for now, that's the right move. Mike Tomlin was right on. And now they have something to build off, not just a run game and not just a defense that can win a game by itself. Now you got a passing game that could come to life and make a big difference.
How about the play action game, too, from behind
center? Well, he was under center. He's good at that.
I thought his number was like eight for nine under center. I saw early in the morning. Have you ever watched the Belichick Peyton Manning show? Oh, my God, is that a great show?
Yeah, that's a good show.
So they were talking about Lamar and his ability in the play action game, how he can really make it look very precisely like the ball's being handed off. And they went back to practice tape from Peyton Manning's career with the Colts. Practice tape. We're talking about practice.
Not to game. Practice.
And Manning said, we used to have a camera right on me. And they showed it. They showed the clips to where I would have to be very, very precise about how I faked the handoff to make it look exactly the way I did when I actually handed it off. Bob, it's like tipping pitches. Defenders and coordinators look at you so closely. They're looking for any clue. Russell Wilson is an absolute master at that. And what a weapon it is. What a weapon the play action game
thing,
is. Especially when you can run.
Right.
Now they got two guys who can. And the offensive line was just a pleasure to watch in the run game.
As it went on, they got better and they dominated, I thought. And I say dominated because the numbers suggest that. Against a very good front New York Jets team that I didn't think was going to be able to be totally shut down.
How about Ryan McCollum?
I mean, you got two young centers now. You got a second-round pick in Frazier, who was looking like one of the best centers in the game. And then this guy comes out of nowhere, and he looked really good. Last the first start, it's got to be nervous prime time against the Jets team. You have Quentin Williams looking at you, and a couple times Quentin Wilson got the best of him. But he held in there. He did a good job, did what he had to do, and moved some people around.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at New Balance.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.